The streets of Phnom Penh once bustled with life. Vendors setting up food carts, children playing soccer, and families going about their daily routines. This was the Cambodia 5-year-old Lung Ung knew before April 17, 1975. That afternoon, as she played hopscotch outside her family's apartment, trucks rumbled into the city carrying men in black clothes with red scarves. These Khmer Rouge soldiers ordered everyone to evacuate immediately, claiming American bombs were coming. Within days, 2 million residents were forced from their homes, beginning one of history's most brutal genocides. The Ung family represented Cambodia's growing middle class, 9 members living comfortably in Phnom Penh. Lung's father had left life as a Buddhist monk to work as a military policeman in the Royal Secret Service. Her Chinese-born mother maintained their spacious apartment where Lung lived with 6 siblings: studious Meng, girl crazy Kui, beautiful Kiav, playful Kim, quiet Cho, and adorable 3-year-old Gak. As the family fled the city, Pa quickly instructed them to claim they were peasants, knowing his government connections meant certain death. The journey transformed them overnight from privileged urbanites to desperate refugees. 17 people crammed under one thatched roof with dirt floors. "You must forget the city," Pa instructed Lung, "and never speak of our previous life." They learned to survive without basic necessities, using hay instead of toothbrushes, and bathing without soap. Their Chinese heritage and middle-class background made them doubly targeted under the new regime. What does it mean when your very identity becomes dangerous? For the Ung family, survival meant erasing who they were and becoming invisible in a landscape of fear. In Ro Leap Village, a strict social hierarchy placed Khmer Rouge officials at the top, original villagers in the middle, and city evacuees like Lun's family at the bottom. The Angkar enforced austere rules: black-only clothing, universal Met addressing, abandonment of family titles, and surrender of possessions, including Lung's cherished red dress made by her mother. Children worked in rice fields from dawn to dusk instead of attending school. Severe food shortages meant 1 12-ounce can of rice for every 10 people. Lung's body showed clear signs of malnutrition: visible ribs, bloated stomach, and swollen feet that retained indentations. Villagers resorted to eating rotting vegetation, rats, and insects as deaths became routine. The Khmer Rouge systematically separated families to ensure absolute loyalty to the Angkar. Kui and his new wife Lane were sent to a labor camp, as was the weakened Meng. 14-year-old Kiev died from dysentery at a teen work camp in a hospital where genuine doctors had been executed. 2 soldiers took Pao away, claiming they needed help with a stuck ox wagon. His final embrace was unusually tight as he called Lung his beautiful girl. He never looked back as he disappeared into the horizon, and Ma's tears confirmed what Lung feared: he would never return. A month after Kim's beating for stealing corn, Ma declared they must separate to survive. She sent Kim, Chow, and Lung away as orphans, keeping only 4-year-old Geek. Despite Lung's protests, Ma forced them to leave the next morning. Though told to split up, Chow and Lung stayed together until reaching a girls' work camp. Later, Lung learned her mother and Geek had been executed. She descended into darkness for 3 days, emerging as a true orphan filled with hatred for the regime that destroyed her family. At the girls' work camp, Lung and Chow attended propaganda sessions, chanting Angkar. After 3 months, Lung was transferred to a child soldier training camp. Though not yet 8, she trained among girls aged 10 to 15. When bullied for her light skin, she violently attacked another girl, nearly choking her before being stopped. Instructor Met Bong taught them to turn ordinary tools, sickles, hoes, machetes, into weapons. During rifle training, Lung recognized the type that had injured her brother Kim, deepening her hatred. At night, she had nightmares of being hunted until she became the hunter herself. After learning of her mother and sister's deaths, she attacked practice dummies with uncontrollable rage, stabbing repeatedly while envisioning Pol Pot. The training had transformed her from victim to potential perpetrator, a child shaped by violence into its instrument. In January 1979, Vietnamese forces invaded Cambodia, routing the Khmer Rouge. Contrary to Met Bong's warnings, Vietnamese troops welcomed refugees and guided them to camps. After days of walking, Lung and her siblings reached a sprawling refugee settlement patrolled by Vietnamese soldiers. Camp life remained brutal. They witnessed deaths, including a grandmother lost to crossfire, while the hospital teemed with suffering. Lung encountered death daily, finding a maggot-infested corpse while gathering wood and helping remove a body from the river. Still, her will to survive endured. Hope emerged when Kim returned in April 1979 with news of finding Meng, followed by Cui's arrival. The brothers had escaped Khmer Rouge forced labor. Reunited, they traveled to their mother's hometown, Bat Deng, where Aunt King gave them new clothes. Lung's sky blue dress, replacing her black Khmer Rouge uniform, symbolized a fresh start. After learning Ma could have survived just 2 more months, Lung fled to the market in anger. Soon after, Meng married Yang, a Chinese woman displaced during the evacuation. Using money from Ma's jewelry, Meng chose Lung to accompany him to America, promising to return for the others in 5 years. They traveled through Vietnam and Thailand by boat, surviving a pirate attack where Lung lost Pa's jade Buddha pendant. After time in a refugee camp, they flew to Vermont on June 5, 1980. The night before, Lung dreamed of Pa saying, "Wherever you go, I will find you." In Vermont, she learned English, attended school, and earned a political science degree. She later became spokesperson for the Campaign for a Landmine-Free World. Returning to Cambodia after 15 years, her family initially reacted uneasily to her Western appearance. But when Chow saw her, her sister broke into tears and took her hand, their fingers intertwining as if they'd never been apart. Lung wrote her memoir in a child's voice to authentically capture her experiences, challenging those who suggested she was too young to remember the war's horrors. Though she initially lacked words to express it, every memory remained vivid. Her story resonated throughout the Cambodian diaspora, processing their collective trauma. A fellow Cambodian Chinese refugee noted their suffering received less attention than Vietnamese refugees, despite enduring greater atrocities. Her narrative even provided solace to incarcerated readers facing deportation. From carefree 5-year-old to international human rights activist, Lung's journey demonstrates both war's devastation and humanity's resilience. She speaks for those who couldn't, ensuring Cambodia's killing fields aren't forgotten. Her testimony shows that even after witnessing humanity's darkest moments, one can still embrace life. Through her innocent eyes, we see how quickly a middle-class child's world of hopscotch games dissolved into desperate survival.